Hidden in the counsels of God are all the reasons why he sent Jesus to the cross. Christ's wounds paid a great debt. And the Bible associates those wounds with our healing in Isaiah chapter 53. Seeing such love, we stand in reverence, wonder, and worship. We long to know how we can rightly respond to a God who would go so far to restore us to himself. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Today's teaching is taken from Isaiah 53, where we read about his wounds, our healing. We're learning some life-changing facts about those wounds.
Let me give you a fourth fact regarding the wounds of Christ, and that is his wounds became scars. They became scars. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 5 for just a moment. Revelation chapter 5, where we see the wounds of Jesus, but in an entirely different context. John is looking into heaven, and he's having this awesome vision, and I wish I could comment on the scroll, but you know that this scroll, in effect, is God's program for the rest of the age. And it says in verse 6 of chapter 5, "Then I saw the Lamb looking," notice now, "as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders." No more blood, no more open wounds, but scars, recognizing that the healing has taken place. And I want you to know today that someday, and many of you are in the process here, but your own wounds will become scars, and you'll look back and say, the healing has happened. Now, I know there's some people who constantly like to keep a wound open. What they do is they keep peeling back the scab the minute it begins to heal to see how the healing is going. And they keep that wound constantly open, and they will not allow it to heal. My dear friend, it's one thing to have wounds, but would you let your wounds heal? The wounds of Jesus are given to us as the means of healing. He offers up his wounds to us for our own healing and for our own health. So his wounds became scars. Number five, his scars are the proof of triumph. The scars are the proof of triumph. I pick it up now in verse 12 of chapter 5 of Revelation. "In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" Someone has said that the only reminder of sin in heaven will probably be the wounds of Jesus. And when you and I see him, what will he look like? If he looks like a lamb, we'll notice that it was the Lamb that was slain. He will look as if he was slain. And if we see him physically, we expect to see nail prints. We expect to see the wounds as a reminder of what he did for us, the stripes and the wounds by which we are healed. Now the question is, how do we access the healing of Christ that comes to us from his wounds? There are three words that come to me, and these three words grow out of the cross. They grow out of what we've just said. The first word is the word of forgiveness. The first word is that of forgiveness. I speak to those of you who will not forgive yourselves, those of you who live with self-condemnation, those of you who are awash with regret, those of you who think that you have sinned too deeply and too often for God to forgive you. I speak to you today and say that it is no credit for Christ to withhold your confession. There's some people who say, "Well, God is so mad at me, I don't want to come into his presence." No, my friend, I want you to know that you insult him because you're driven away from him by your guilt rather than close to him because of it. You come to the one who died. You come to the one who made provision. Don't hang on to it as some work that you must accomplish, that sense of guilt. I really do believe that Bonhoeffer was right when he said there are some people for whom guilt is an idol that they must hang on to. Well, you come to the cross You are forgiven by God. Then you ask other people to forgive you for the wrong that you have done. And then you choose to forgive those who have wronged you, even if they don't ask forgiveness. And you can't be reconciled to them. And maybe we don't want to call this forgiveness, but there is a sense in which we open our lives to God and we give Him our bitterness and our anger and all of the hurt that is within us so that it can get out of us. And so just as Jesus died on the cross at the hands of angry people, so we too accept now the forgiveness that was purchased through that horrid event. And so the first word is forgiveness. When did Jesus' wounds, so to speak, begin to heal, figuratively speaking? I think it's when it was on the cross and He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," which is the text for our next message in this series. First word is the one of forgiveness. Don't hurry over that word. Accept it. There's a second word, and that is the word for love. You see, we can put it this way, that forgiveness cleanses the wound, but it does not yet ensure that healing will take place. The healing is the power of love. See, love is the salve that takes our wounds and heals them. And it's a reminder of the fact that God loves us in our woundedness. God loves us despite the struggles. God loves us despite the sin. I hate to say it this way, but I must be clear. God loves us despite the evil that is still in our hearts that He is working in us to get rid of. He loves us because He loves us. Can you accept that, my friend? It's hard for us to accept. It's hard for me to accept. It's hard for me to believe that God would love me like that. But He does. I think that Richard Foster had a point when he said, "Today the heart of God is an open wound of love. He aches over our distance and our preoccupation. He mourns that we do not draw near to Him. He grieves that we have forgotten Him. He weeps over our obsession with muchness and manyness. He longs for our presence." Can you let God love you today? Can you let Him love you? Do you believe that you are individually, perfectly loved? There's a third word that flows from the cross, and that is the word providence. You know, the ancients used to speak about providential affliction. We don't use that terminology today because we've gone away from a biblical understanding of providence. Providential affliction. That's what Jesus endured on the cross. And if you're writing and taking notes, not only should you put the word providence there, but then put a slash and put the word thanksgiving. Because if you believe that even your wounds and your circumstances are a part of the larger picture of God, then you can say, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you will do through me as a result of this." We do not give thanks for evil, but we give thanks in the midst of evil because we see God even at crosses. And as a result of that, we say to ourselves, "God has not forsaken me because of what has happened. I can become a part of God's picture and am a part of God's picture. And I accept my wounds as that which God shall bless and heal." You know, of course, we live at a time when there are many different religions out there, many different options, many different opportunities, and they can all be investigated. And I offer Jesus to you today for many, many, many reasons. But one more to add to your list is the fact that He's the only God with wounds. It is said that in Africa there was a fire in a hut, and the whole family burned and died, except a child. Someone in the middle of the night ran into that burning hut and took this baby boy and rescued him. And the next day the elders of the city gathered together and wondered who should take care of this lone child, this orphan. The child was honored because it was thought that maybe he's a special child in light of the fact that someone rescued him from the fire. And a wise man said, "Well, I think he should live with me." And a rich man said, "I think that he'd be better off with me." And they were discussing this when into the circle came a young man who argued that he had prior claim to the child because he showed them his hands burned the night before in that fire as he rescued the boy. Sometimes it's difficult with words to convey what is in my heart to yours, but I do want to convey this to you, my dear friend. Jesus has prior claim. He has prior claim because of his wounds. There is no other God who entered into this world who struggled with us in our difficulties. There is no other God who experienced death on the cross as the Son of God, as the second member of the Trinity. There is no such thing because he is a God who got involved in our predicament and a God with wounds. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to thy throne. But to our wounds only God's wounds can speak. And not a God has wounds, but thou alone. Yes, my friend, this does show, does it not, the uniqueness of the Christian faith? This is Pastor Lutzer. Many of you perhaps have seen the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Remember in the movie, as in the book which I read some time ago, Aslan, the lion, willingly gives himself. He allows himself to be bound, he allows himself to be dragged onto that stone table, and he gives himself up, and then of course he's raised again. Edmund, you remember, is the boy who went along with the witch and sided with her in the battle. And the whole idea is that somebody has to die because of what Edmund did. It's either Edmund, or in this case, Aslan takes his place, and then of course he's raised from the dead, just like Jesus. What a marvelous picture of Jesus who went to the top of a hill, allowed people to bind him, allowed people to crucify him. And because of that, he of course purchased our redemption. He died in our place, and then he was raised again, and just like Edmund, was reunited not only with the children, but also with the lion, Aslan. In the very same way, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are united with the people of God, and we are united with a risen Christ. If you have believed on Jesus and trusted him as Savior as a result of this broadcast or our entire ministry of Running to Win, would you let us know that? From time to time, we're so delighted to find people who've come to saving faith in Christ, but we'd like to know about you. We'd like to be able to encourage you and to help you along in your spiritual journey. It's wonderful that Jesus died for us.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer has concluded His Wounds, Our Healing, the first of 8 messages on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Tomorrow, we focus on the first cry from the cross, a cry of pardon. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Cries from the Cross is more than a series. It's a challenging book by Dr. Lutzer that we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.